rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And as usual, before we get started, let me put in a mention for our sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. And you know, I keep telling you guys, you got to try it. It's economical, it's wonderful, it's all natural, organic, natural stuff that your skin just soaks up. I love it, and I love the person that creates it too, because she's wonderful. So they are sponsoring us, and I am very grateful for that. And for tonight, we have a special guest who is up at 4 o'clock in the morning, her time, to be able to be with us. So welcome to the show, Dr. Jude Curvin.
It's lovely to be here, Dr. Valerie, and welcome to all our listeners. And I am awake.
Yes, you are. You sound much more awake than I would be if I had to be up in the middle of the night doing this. So thank you for that. And tonight we're going to discuss Dr. Jude's new book, Cosmos, A Co-Creator's Guide to the Whole World, that she wrote with Irvin Laszlo. And I believe you said he was a member of the club in, Budapest.
Well, in fact, Dr. Valerie, Irvin was, I think, the founder of the Club of Budapest.
Oh.
And is their lifelong president. So he's very much involved with that work still.
Wow, so you can tell us what's going on there. And first, before we get started on all these fascinating things you've written about in the book, if you would give the listeners a bio, you know, who are you, where have you been, et cetera, they love that stuff. So please go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm as you probably can gather from the accent and the fact it's 4 o'clock here, I'm English, I'm British. I'm based in a beautiful part of England, near Avebury, which is a sacred landscape. I grew up in the north of England, daughter of a coal miner, and I had my first psychic experience when I was 4. So essentially I've been walking between worlds all my life. I have a master's degree in quantum physics and cosmology. I've always wanted to know not just how the universe is, but why. I have a PhD in archaeology, researching ancient cosmologies. I'm a healer, a sensitive, a Hay House author. I've written 4 books now in 3 years, and please don't ask me how I did it, because I have no idea. But the books now are available in 12 languages and 25 countries. So basically my work brings together leading-edge science and frontier research into consciousness, together with ancient wisdom and emerging spiritual understanding and wisdom. For many years, I was also an international businesswoman, which gave me a very grounded and practical approach to all of this stuff. But essentially, my work worldwide is to essentially help people wake up and empower themselves. I've worked alongside the wisdom keepers of many traditions. My book, The 13th Step, that's also just come out with Hay House in the U.S., tells the transformational story of 13 journeys around the world. I came the scenic route to where I am, and my life continues to be a search for deeper understanding. And as I gain that deeper understanding, I share it through my workshops and talks and books and around the world. So here I am.
Well, I'll tell you, reading your book, Dr. Jude, I was so impressed. Well, first I was impressed looking at the cover and, you know, seeing your credentials. I always love to see that because I hate to think that I'm the only perpetual student in the world. And, and so that's kind of really nice to see. But because of your background, because of the combination of the quantum physics and cosmology and archaeology and all that stuff, I think you're uniquely positioned to bring to us these things that you've discovered and to put it all together. And that's what I like to see, because so few people really have the time to read and get all the information they need. And so what I found in your book is you brought together a lot of things very nicely, things that I know about, but I wouldn't even want to attempt to put them into one book. And so I have to congratulate you on that. And you know, I also am involved in helping people on that inner quest and on waking up to the truth of who we as a species are and where we're going. And so I welcome any kind of other input that I find along my way on this earth. And I have to say that so many of us have come to the same determination, whether we are scientists or healers or, you know, straight medical people or writers or whatever, we all seem to be coming to the same acknowledgement of our creation. And I find that so fascinating. And as you go through the different creation theories and what the quantum scientists are now saying, that's an eye-opener. So if you would talk about that a little bit and kind of bring everybody up to speed on where we are with who we think we are now, that'd be cool.
I'll try and do that in 30 seconds.
Okay. Ooh, I'll be really impressed then.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think what is so fascinating is that, you know, when I was doing my master's degree in quantum physics and cosmology, what, 30-odd years ago at Oxford University, it seemed at that point as though physics was almost in the end game of understanding, you know, the universe. But in the 30 years since, actually, even though from a technological basis we've gone a huge way forward and technologically used the premise of quantum theory, I think physics at a fundamental level really hasn't. And a number of things over the last few years have really brought it to, I think, a point. It was back in the end of the 19th century where it seemed everything was organized and understood, and then, you know, with classical physics, and then suddenly, almost out of left field, general relativity and quantum physics, that revolution was born. I actually think we're on the edge of another and even more significant revolution in physics, which is called the parent of sciences, because the other sciences tend to take their guidance from its fundamental theories. And those discoveries over the last few years, you know, such as dark matter and dark energy together, which are now being seen as actually forming something like 96% of what we would call the physical world, means that, you know, quantum physics and general relativity ostensibly can only describe 4% of what is space, time, matter, and energy. But even then, the world of the very small, which is described by quantum theory, and the world of the very large, which is described by relativity, are fundamentally incompatible. And I go into this in a very accessible way in the book. But they basically don't speak to each other. Their descriptions of what is space and time are totally different. So we really are at a crossroads. And people such as Lee Smolin at the Perimeter Institute in Toronto have essentially called it the end of physics. But I think it's incredibly exciting. And what I think is happening is that when the revolution, the relativistic and quantum revolution happened in the early 20th century, we were given signs that were actually very important. Right from the beginning, we realized that we could no longer separate the observer and the observed. But over time, scientists believed or insisted that that was only true at the very smallest, most minute scales of existence. The other thing that was discovered, first of all in theory and then in experiment in the 1980s, was what's called non-local connection. Einstein basically said that nothing can go faster than the speed of light within space-time, but also quantum theory postulated this non-local immediate connection that transcends space and time. In fact, Einstein called it spook action at a distance and really didn't like it very much, but we now know that it's real. So what we appreciate now is, first of all, the current theories of physics cannot explain even the physical realm. But what scientists are also appreciating is that things such as non-local connectivity mean that the universe can only really be understood. And now, of course, it's not just at the quantum realm, but experimentally, organic molecules have been shown to be non-locally connected, which theoretically says there's no limit. And frontier research into consciousness has shown that we too, our minds too, are connected on this non-local basis. So what we now realize, or beginning to realize, is that we have to see the physical world not as, as a fragmented, separate series of events and things, but innately coherent and innately interconnected. It literally is a whole world. But even more fundamentally, science has now begun to realize that the mathematics that describe matter and energy and their states, the entropy, their states of order disorder, is exactly the same mathematics that describes information. And so there's an emerging perspective that information, i.e. consciousness, is more fundamental than space and time and matter and energy. And the third thing is that across all scales and all fields of study, from biology to study the weather and earthquakes, not just natural systems, but man-made systems, the signature of holographic processes are showing more and more that we literally can describe the universe and everything in it, including ourselves, essentially as a cosmic hologram. And so the ancient premise of as above, so below, is literally being reformulated in scientific terms to describe a whole world that is innately interconnected, meaningful, and conscious.
Yeah, and that is something that has been ridiculed for a long time by our scientific community. Yeah. And, a lot of eye rolling has gone on and things like that, but I've noticed that lately, meaning in the last 5 years specifically, the quantum physicists have been saying that everything is consciousness, and they're saying that more and more now, more are jumping on the bandwagon. Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to ask you first, in case I forget, to please speak up a little bit more, because sounds a little bit down. So my question is, you and I know what dark matter is, or at least what we're calling dark matter. What I would like is to have you explain to the audience, what dark matter is, because some of them may be thinking, oh, that's evil. And so we need to delineate that. It's not evil.
Heavens no. I mean, to a physicist, what dark matter and dark energy are is basically, because they can't see them, they're literally dark. When astronomers look deep into, and cosmologists look deep into the universe, they work out the matter and the energy that is there because they can see it, because it emits light. And the further out they look, the further back in time they look, because the limiting speed within space-time is the speed of light, or at least that is the premise at the moment. And as far as we know, and it does work exquisitely, if indeed it is, that is the fastest speed. So essentially, for many years, it was assumed that if you took all the stars, all the galaxies that we could see, that comprised, and the energy of their light and the energy they embodied, because energy and matter are equivalent, as Einstein showed us with E equals mc squared, that would explain the entire mass, matter and energy in the universe. But when astronomers started to look at galaxies and the way that galaxies spin, they discovered that there wasn't enough visible matter and energy to keep them together. Something else was holding galaxies together. And when they did their calculations, they realized that what was holding the galaxies together, they couldn't see, and so they called it dark matter, actually was five times more present than the matter we can see when we look out through the Hubble telescope and in other ways and see stuff out there. But 10 years ago, that issue became even more of an issue when, again, cosmologists calculating how fast the universe is expanding had believed until then that it was slowing down, that from the so-called Big Bang, the first moment of what we call space and time in this cycle of the universe, that the universe was sort of expanding, but that the gravity of the matter and the energy within it was eventually slowing it down. But when they did the calculations, instead of slowing down, something that they called dark energy was actually speeding the universe up. It's actually the expansion appears to be accelerating. And the dark energy, literally, when they did the calculations again, seems to comprise about three quarters of the energy in the universe. So when they totaled everything up, dark matter and dark energy, they found a whopping 96% of everything of the stuff of a physical universe they couldn't see and have no real idea of what it is. And although there are some ideas of what the dark matter might be, it's really, in my view, it's searching for something. They really need to go back to basics. And the basics is to understand, first of all, the holographic principles. And there are theories now coming forward with this. And secondly, we have to put consciousness and non-local connection at the very heart of any theory that seeks to describe the physical world.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the holographic things, you expressed in your book that the entirety of the manifest world, including ourselves, is expressed through harmonic processes that embody fractal order and holographic principles. And that was such a succinct statement to me, because I've been interested in fractals ever since I heard about them and just thought they were absolutely amazingly beautiful. And of course, holography, ever since I heard about that, and have experienced so much of that myself with what I'm doing. And, you know, I started thinking as I was reading this about art. You also had something in there about the role of art in our lives and about how beauty is another harmonic. And it's all coming together. And I think for too long, you know, science and art have been separated. And,
I
know,
agree, and science, you know, we're finding that music as well is a cosmic language.
Yes. And, oh, that reminds me of what I wanted to ask you about. You were talking about music and about the Fibonacci series.
Yes.
And if you could kind of go into that a little bit. I think, you know, a lot of people have heard the term Fibonacci series. And they've heard, you know, about how the numbers add up, and that's kind of a neat little mathematical trick. But they don't really understand what that means to us.
Okay, well, Fibonacci was a Renaissance, or just before the Renaissance, Italian mathematician. And basically he discovered a series, a mathematical series, which is 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, and so on. And the way the series works is that the next term in the series is comprised of the sum of the previous two terms. So 0 to 1, 1 and 1 to 2, 1 and 2 becomes 3, 3 and 2 becomes 5, 5 and 3 become 8, and so on. And then when you actually divide one term by its predecessor, you come eventually to a ratio that is called phi, or the golden mean. And the golden mean is resplendent throughout nature, the form of nature, the way that, for example, conch shells spiral. If you've ever seen a nautilus shell, there is a Fibonacci spiral within that. The way that populations of animals evolve and breed embodies Fibonacci. Our bodies embody Fibonacci ratios in our joints. We see those ratios all pervasive in nature. And Fibonacci is basically an evolutionary process, the way it sort of evolves from one term to another to another. And we see Fibonacci music. 8 is a Fibonacci number, and 8 is the octave of our Western music. 13 is a Fibonacci number, and there were 13 notes in the very ancient musical scale called the chromatic scale. And for any of our listeners who play the piano, you'll recognize the 8 white notes and the 5 on the semitones on a piano keyboard, which forms the sort of the octave where the bottom note and the top note are essentially multiples of each other. So Fibonacci plays through nature, it plays through evolution, it plays through music. It plays through architecture. And somebody once described architecture as frozen music. And through art as well, if we look at the art of the great masters, such as Leonardo da Vinci, then again you find the ratios, which are very pleasing to the eye, are in Fibonacci ratio. And credit cards are in Fibonacci ratio.
Okay, now that's interesting. How does that happen?
Well, good question.
Is that why it makes a lot of money for the credit card companies and doesn't work so well for us?
Well, probably. But, you know, these patterns, the fractal patterns we're now aware of, we were able to be aware of them because of the power of computers. To actually, you know, to actually understand the fractal patterns that underlie all physical manifestation, we need to be able to analyze vast amounts of data that the computers enable us to do. But those fractal geometries, and they are geometries, are, if you like, a richer, a deeper, a more profound manifestation of the idealized geometries that the ancients, the Greek ancients, the Egyptian ancients, revered. You know, the Platonic solids that are actually named after Plato, but in the UK and Britain, we have three-dimensional Platonic solids of stone that date back over 4,000 years. So somebody that far back knew about the so-called Platonic solids and geometry. But the intuitive geometries that the ancient sages were aware of, we've now taken to that, if you like, next level of fractal geometries to understand the deeper understanding of what we call the physical world.
This stuff is so amazing that finally the scientists are making all these connections. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of a friend of mine that's a sound medicine healer, and that she sings over someone's body, and she can actually cut her hand, and she used to do this when she taught her classes. She would cut her hand deep, right through the palm, and then make her students sing it back together.
Wow.
And it, yeah, just amazing stuff. And then she said, I'm tired of cutting my own hand. It hurts. You know, I'm going to make them cut their own hands. I said, well, that would knock me out. I don't want to hurt.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, sound and light are fundamental. Every consciousness expresses itself as energy. All energies are in waveforms. Holographic processors rely on that. As we write, as Irvin and I write in Cosmos, if we look at the way that the physical world is exquisitely tuned and extraordinarily beautiful constructed. I often say I wish I'd thought of it. It just is perfect for these holographic processes to play out. It is coherent, as indeed is music, which is why music is so effective. But you know, as you know, Dr. Valerie, and I work as a healer as well, with both people and places, and on a collective level, is that our intention also, just our intention, we don't even need to use sound, although it is incredibly powerful. The more coherent our intention is, the more we can literally, we do co-create our realities. But the difference is, I suppose, the difference between the light radiated by a light bulb that goes in all directions and across many frequencies and can light up a room, the difference between that and the same energy when it's absolutely focused is a laser. And whilst the light bulb can light a room, a laser can cut through steel. And that's the difference when we are really coherent, really attuned with our intention, then we do manifest ever more consciously our realities, and that includes healing.
You know, that's a good point, too. When I started out, I was doing hands-on healing, and I was healing people by my will, by the force of my will. And then I came to realize that when I did that, parts of me were showing up in the person's life, and I knew that they were not wild children, you know. And I was a little bit wild when I was younger, and, you know, just kind of a free spirit. And so when I saw people who were not that way, suddenly having portions of that within them, I said, that's very strange. Yeah, so I went and talked to my teacher, and he said, yes, because your filter is not clear. He said, you can focus your intention, but you have all this garbage in your filter. And he said, when you become like a Jesus or a Buddha, and you can focus your intention, then there will be no garbage, and you will heal people not only in their physicality now, but you will heal them through all levels of their being, past, present, and future, in an instant.
Absolutely.
Amazing stuff. And I know that after that, I quit doing the hands-on healing because I realized, you know, what I was doing, and I thought, well, okay, I need to obviously find some other way. And then I remember that a psychic who was a very good psychic, reader, was when he first met me, he was walking down the stairs at this place, and he just stopped and he looked at me and he was smiling at me. And later on he came up to me and said, did you know that you have little golden balls of light that are coming out of you like a fountain? And I said, oh, that's the I Am presence that's doing the healing, because I realized that I didn't need to have me involved in it.
Exactly.
And he said, well, yes, that's right. And I said, you know, I hear tones. And the same thing with seeing auras. When I first was trying to get back to seeing auras, then I heard a tone and I knew that that meant maybe orange or blue or something like that. And I couldn't explain to someone how I knew that. I just knew it.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm seeing the quantum physicist coming out with all this stuff and saying, oh, yeah, you know, this is the way and the ancients knew it and everything else, I thought, man, why do we have to go through these millennia of being stupid? You know, the ancient ones knew.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, my understanding of all of this, as I said to you right at the beginning, I had my first multidimensional experience when I was 4 years old. And so I've been walking between these worlds for many, many years and you know, working with ascended masters and angels and deities and divas. My mum used to say, I'll speak with anyone, but I've had the most amazing guidance. And it is that. It is that understanding that we can open ourselves up at that highest level and be coherent with spirit, with source, which, of course, the great teachers, the ascended masters, the avatars, have always done, the Buddha, Lord Jesus. And, you know, what I feel is really happening, this incredible moment in time, is that we are shifting to be that consciousness, and all of us, because it is our innate fundamental nature, it is our inner divinity, able to move to that next level of being where we can open and be all that we are and bring that through our human journey. We're moving to that point, I feel, of transpersonal consciousness. And I describe it as being in the universal heart of the eighth chakra, of the higher heart or the universal heart opening within us. And that is the universal heart that is the portal that is that pure conduit that is our inner divinity.
As you're saying that, I'm feeling this huge influx of energy that's actually heating up my head. very interesting. I'm wondering what the listeners are feeling, because usually Dominic will chime in, you know, with what he's feeling with these things, because he's very aware of the energies. And also, I wanted to give out the numbers before we go too much further. If anyone has any comments or questions for Dr. Jude, you can call us toll-free at 888-389-3452, and that's worldwide. Also 877-489-6350. I'll repeat those two, 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Or direct is 530-776-5154. And again, that's 530-776-5154. I oftentimes get so fascinated with the guests, Dr. Jude, that I completely forget to give out the numbers. So I've been leaving myself notes to myself here. Be sure to give out the phone numbers. so excuse me for interrupting you, but I'd like them to have a chance to call in if they have some questions about this. We have a very interesting base of listeners. They're very deeply thoughtful about themselves and are actively working on bettering themselves in every way, shape, and form. So we have everyone from beginners to very experienced people that are listening, and some are listening, you know, direct now, and some are listening on the archives. But at either case, they really think about what the guests say. And Dominic says he sensed a deep brown energy there. Now that's interesting. Now, what does that say to you, Dr. Jude? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but...
No, not at all. So Dominic says a deep brown energy.
Uh-huh.
Right. What I'm picking up is that when we access and open the what I call the eighth chakra of the universal heart, then we're opening ourselves to soul, to spirit. But there is a ninth chakra beneath our feet, and I work with planetary healing. And it's about a hand's breadth beneath our feet. It's called the Earth Star Chakra. And what it's doing is it's connecting us very, very profoundly with the Earth, with all the realms of the living Earth. So whereas when we're working on the personality energy level with the seven chakras, most people, most of our listeners, if they do that, they'll be grounding through their root chakra. When we open the universal heart, then because rather like a tree, our branches are going higher into the cosmos, so our roots need to go deep into the earth, then we need to energetically ground through the Earth Star. And I just have a sense that when Dominic brought through that energy, what he may be picking up is the sort of the earth connection of actually connecting himself through the Earth Star. And because this is who we really are, we're remembering this literally. People are spontaneously accessing these transpersonal energies. And so I feel that the shift of consciousness, it really isn't about us floating off somewhere that I think people might have considered it to be 10, 15, 20 years ago. It really is bringing our highest purpose, our soul-level consciousness, through our human experience and grounding that in the beauty and the communion with the earth and all her children. So I sense that deep brown earth energy is what Dominic was and is connecting with.
Wow, very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love this kind of stuff, you know, and I know the listeners do too. We all wonder about ourselves, you know.
Oh.
And and we wonder about experiences that we have, and are we just weird, or are we experiencing something that other humans experience? And especially, you know, with a show like this, we kind of delve into everything on the Enlightened Medicine Show. You know, we do the quantum physics, we do the psychic, we do regular medicine, we do, you know, naturopathic medicine, we do everything in between, basically whatever I feel like doing. And it's just
your show, Dr. Valerie, you're allowed.
That's right. I get to do those things, you know. It's good to be queen.
Absolutely. You know, and what you were saying, I think, is really important, is it's really to understand, it's about direct experience. And what I find so wonderful is that more and more people are having experiences of telepathic connection, precognition, synchronicities, and now there's an openness, and ever more, I think, will be an openness to those experiences. And I work with people around the world, and as I say, I've been walking between these worlds all my life. So for me, like for you, it's another day at the office, but it is remarkable when people are open to this, because the more open we are, the old saying that, you know, seeing is believing, we know from research into consciousness that it's believing is seeing. What we're able to imagine, what we're willing to be open to, then we can experience. And more people are getting and having similar experiences. Sure, our journeys are all unique to us, but we are on a collective journey. We're on a journey, in my perspective, with a homecoming of heaven on Mother Earth, a homecoming to remember who we really are. And that's that incredible vastness of our consciousness that we're just waking up to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As one, I'm sure you felt this too, as one who has been a little odd since I was a child, and because I had more of a connection than most people, you know, and saw these things that were going on and was not normal, then, you know, it's like finally people are starting to wake up, you know, and like we're not the only oddballs out there. You know, it used to be nobody talked about this kind of stuff. And like you, when I was a child, I talked to everybody, and my parents would say, oh, she'll talk to anybody out there, and, you know, that's not good. And I said, no, I know which ones to talk to. And, you know, and people I would talk to said, oh, you've got to be careful, you can't talk to strangers. And I said, well, you're not a stranger to me, you know.
Exactly.
And really, none of us are. And I was talking about that to someone, a friend of mine this week, and I said, you know, really, there are no secrets. We are all connected. And I liked what you put in there about the Buddha, about how the Buddha saw the universe as golden threads of connection with a jewel at each nexus point that was multicolored and reflecting the multicolors of the other jewels around it. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to put that, and very similar to what I and many other people have seen, and you probably have too, is that we are connected with these golden grid lines.
Yeah.
And it's lightening up. It's getting lighter and lighter all the time. And it's just fascinating that we can never really be apart from that. And, you know, it's only the thought that we're apart that allows us to continue this separate existence. And really, you know, the biggest bliss is to be absorbed into the totality of our consciousness and to become more, where we discover to our surprise that even though we went for the complete fusion, so to speak, yet we still have our separate consciousness too, and we become co-creators this way.
Absolutely. And, you know, the ancients were so beautifully symbolic about this. You know, they didn't have the sort of scientific terminology we have now that might describe the whole world as expressed as a cosmic hologram. Buddha, as you say, described it as golden threads and jewels. And of course the ancient Indian sages described the world, the cosmos, the multidimensional cosmos, as the cosmic ocean. And we are both the droplets of the ocean and the ocean itself. And therefore it's that playing, you know, at whatever level of consciousness We choose to, and the shift, as I think we both feel, that's accelerating, is enabling us to become ever more conscious co-creators of our realities. I think it's time to play.
Yeah.
Wake up and play. Wake up and play as cosmic co-creators.
Well, and you know, one of the things that came through to me, like I've seen a lot of the things that could be. I was shown a lot of things in my near-death experiences, and I was also shown that it's not set in stone, and that we have the chance as a species to change the world, which is what set me out on my mission. You know, you got to watch out for those little voices because they can get you in trouble. You know.
Yeah, I know that too. But yes, exactly. That we can change, and we are. I feel we are changing, and it's accelerating. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and I'm seeing more and more people wake up, and I am so thrilled. And seeing more people like yourself writing these kinds of books and getting them out there and helping people to find their way, because the majority of people are in that state of flux. And I've had so many people write to me lately and ask me for advice about what to do in life because they just realize they're not happy.
Yeah.
And you know, that one of the things that I do is help them to define that does make them happy and to be brave enough to take those steps to do it. And it's just been increasing. And, you know, so many people just either writing me or calling me about this kind of stuff and saying, wow, you know, how do I get to that place where I feel fulfilled?
Yeah.
And you know, that can't be in the quote-unquote normal world anymore. Because they're starting to wake up to the fact that that's not normal.
And you know, I think we're redefining what we call normal, because for me, and for you I know, and I suspect for many of our listeners, what we call supernatural for me is natural.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did call normal, I think, you know, in a few years' time, will be completely different from what we are calling normality. I mean, this time is phenomenal, isn't it, with the financial systems falling apart and away. But for me, it's crucial. The old has to fall away for the new to be born. And I think
yes.
It is a newness that's born into sustainability, to instead of a sort of an economic system that is based on consumerism and conflict, you know, we move to social systems and structures that are based on justice and sustainability and co-creativity and what perfection with President Obama coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel that we've got immense cosmic support. I discovered a little while ago an astrological alignment that's going to take place at dawn on the 14th of February. And I'm calling it the Aquarian alignment, and it is absolutely remarkable. And as far as I know, it's never happened before. I went back 500 years, and it's not happened before. And I'll send it to you, so perhaps we can share it with our listeners. And it's on my website. But it's absolutely phenomenal. And it actually, in the sky, on the dawn of the Day of Love, St. Valentine's Day, 14th of February. Jupiter and Mars are together in the sky in Aquarius in the 12th house of spiritual transformation, and the moon is in the 7th house. And you might remember a song called Aquarius.
Yes. I'll spare the listeners and not sing it.
They'll probably be grateful for me not singing it either. But 40-odd years ago, these incredibly intuitive songwriters said when the moon is in the 7th house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. We're actually at dawn on the Day of Love, the 14th of February. That is what is happening in the sky. And I've drawn up the chart for the center of our measurement of space and time, which is the Greenwich Meridian in England. We measure longitude from there. We measure time, universal time from there. And at that place, on that dawn, the sky literally births the dawning of the age of Aquarius for us all.
Mm.
Just phenomenal. The cosmic support and the cosmic cycles, the holographic cycles that are working on so many different levels to co-create this incredible shift that we're all fellow travelers on and with.
This is so exciting. And by the way, Dominic says that when you talk, there are spinning bands of red and pale blue.
Oh.
That's
bless
cool.
Dominic.
He's very visual. It's really cool. And, you know, as we're talking about all this stuff, I mean, I tend to see in colors also. Mm. And I get impressions of different vibrations and things with people. And what I'm feeling as we're talking and as the listeners are tuning in is I'm feeling such a connection right now with everyone out there and through them, through all of the people that they're connected to. And it makes me realize why I've been changing my prayers. And I pray when I'm in the shower. You know, it's my phone booth to God. And so I just recently, like in the last couple of weeks, I've started blessing everybody, you know, and I've been commending not only my spirit and all of its incarnations and, you know, I say everywhere, every when, every who that I ever was, am, or will be. And I'm including everyone that I have ever touched or who has ever touched me in any way, shape, or form. And I'm commending all of our spirits into the arms of the Holy Spirit or the all that is, the oneness, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's been very recent. And I always say, and including my enemies. Because something was brought home to me many, many years ago. And actually, it was one of those things where, you know, you have divine messages that sometimes come through drunks on the street, sometimes come through little kids, sometimes through crazy people. And I remember that this old homeless, drunken guy kind of stumbling down the street and stopping in the middle of the street and yelling up, you know, putting his head back and yelling up, "We ain't none of us going home until all of us goes home." And I stood there and I thought, you know what, that's true.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I really do. Oh, bless him.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Exactly.
And, you know, holographically, you know, what I find as a healer over many, many years, I've worked to help people to understand their own patterns of behavior and their own emotional responses and you know, how their thoughts and their beliefs and their feelings literally become their realities and the patterns of their lives. And holographically, the same patterns that we play out on personal levels, of course, play out on collective levels. And I think more and more people are getting this. Lao Tzu, a wonderful Chinese philosopher, said 2,500 years ago, you know, there cannot be peace in the nation unless there's peace in the city. There cannot be peace in the city unless there's peace in the home. There cannot be peace in the home without there being peace in the heart. And I think now we're in a time, and with the new president and with a new sort of emphasis on coming together and talking, that we can begin, and certainly the Aquarian alignment, the 14th of February, gives us amazing cosmic support to come together to heal the schisms that have divided us for so long. And those are schisms within ourselves, between nations. You know, we can be, if we choose love over fear, we can really bring peace to our world.
I totally agree. And as you're saying this, I'm thinking, you know, what would happen if everybody in the world, during that time, during that 24 hours around the world, if everybody picked up the phone and used the email or used the fax or dropped letters into the mail to the leaders of their country and whoever else they felt like impressing and said, "Stop the wars now."
Yeah.
What would happen?
I feel it would happen ultimately, because leaders ultimately, I mean, most leaders ultimately, certainly in the democratic countries, really do have to listen. And, you know, that is the moment, I think, that day, that dawn on the 14th of February. I'm asking people to tune in for 18 minutes with the highest intention for love and to peace. Mm-hmm. and to co-create the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And align our intention to that of the cosmos to bring this new way of being through. and for people to write, to do, to pick up the phone and speak to someone who you've had a problem with, who is perhaps your perceived enemy on a personal level. Make peace with them. A brother you've not spoken with for 20 years. Make peace with them. A neighbor that you're having a row with, make peace with them. Because we have to do it on those levels if we're actually going to do it between nations.
Exactly. We have to be it.
As Gandhi said, we have to be the change.
Yes. I was just up at the Hopi Second Mesa this weekend watching the buffalo and deer dance. And I have to tell you that the minute they started coming into the pavilion, I just started crying, and I cried about halfway through this. I mean, the feeling was so incredible, and it was just so in touch with nature. And the whole purpose of those dances is to bring snow, because the snow brings water, which brings them prosperity. And I had the privilege of being invited up there by one of the liaisons for the water clan, and I went with a couple friends, and it was just really a magical day. And when we first met him, and he's going to be on the show on the 17th, his name is Ruben, and he said, we regard ourselves as being the center for the children of the earth. And he said, the reason that there is such strife and so many problems in the world is because we started fighting amongst ourselves. And he said, the Hopi are the people of peace. And when we have no peace, then the world has no peace. Very, very interesting. And to see the difference, and by the way, they did get snow. It was snowing pretty good up there yesterday.
Wonderful.
Good thing we didn't stay.
And as you're speaking, you're making me cry, because many years ago, I was at Hopi Second Mesa. Mm. And other than my wedding ring, I wear one other ring, which is my ring of covenant with my work. And I got it on the Hopi Second Mesa. And I dreamed about this ring the night before I saw it. I saw it in a dream, and I went up to Second Mesa, and it was there waiting for me. And the man who actually made it, I met, and he and I were born in the same year. And it has dark and light in it, and 12 waves going round it that come into the 13th hole. Mm. And that's my Hopi ring. And as you're speaking, you're making me cry.
It's pretty, it's pretty powerful stuff. And, I'm feeling the connection more and more, and I'm so grateful for it, because I've waited a long time, as have many of us. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. And, we could go at this for another hour, but we're about out of time. I wanted to tell you what they're saying on the fast chat. Dominic said your energies changed to orange gold when you started talking about Aquarius. And then Carla says, what about the mathematic formula when everyone gets together at the same time and you can change the energy when everyone is together? Do you know about this math formula?
No, but if she'd like to email me, I'd be delighted to hear about it. She can get me jude@judecoven.com. And that's the case for any of our listeners who have questions that, on things that we've been talking about, or further questions that they might have. I'd be delighted to hear from them.
Absolutely. And the website is www.judecoven.com. That's JudeCurivan, correct?
It is indeed. And I'll send you, Dr. Valerie, the details of the Aquarian alignment and the chart, and that's also on my website.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yeah, and it's, it's so powerful. So I hope everyone that's listening tonight, or if you're listening on the archives, that you will take time for at least 18 minutes to meditate on peace and moving the world consciousness up. Move it into that space of the heart and the space of peace, because it takes every one of us to do this, to counteract all the ones that are not awake yet. And we can do it, guys. And if we're not going to do it, we're in trouble. So, we need every one of us.
And the hope is that we're the ones we've been waiting for. So now is the time. Now is the time.
Yep. Amazing trip that we're on, isn't it, Dr. Jude?
It's absolutely wonderful, and I'm just filled with excitement. And, you know, for all of our listeners, and there is turmoil, of course, in the world, but I would just say, think of that as the waves on top of the ocean, and look deeper and see the tidal shift that is the ocean, and it's meaningful, it's purposeful, and it's taking us to an incredible future. But we have to show up. We have to show up and do the very best we can.
Well, we have to envision that future.
We
are creating it.
Yes,
yeah, we are absolutely creating it. We are co-creators, and this is why, you know, when someone asks me to tell them what I saw about what could happen, I tell them why. First of all, it's too late for you to start to learn what's going on behind the scenes. And secondly, then you don't have time to go into fetal position and be terrified and fearful, because right now we need to have our hearts just surging towards the new, surging towards the higher. And you can't do that if you know what's going on behind the scenes and you know, all the machinations of the ones that don't want to let go.
Oh, absolutely. But that's old energy, you know, that is falling away. I mean, everything that I'm aware of is just, the energy now is supporting those that are courageous and brave, as the people you talked about who have been unhappy with their lives and know there's something better. Something better, something that is sustainable and fundamental. And I think the cosmic support we all have is encouraging us and giving us the courage and the energy to take that leap into love, which I feel is our cosmic destiny.
I so agree. And with that, we are out of time. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Jude. And it's been quite a pleasure. Yeah, it's just been so much fun, and I know the listeners got a lot out of this, and you may be hearing from some of them. People are often surprised, you know, when they get emails or orders for their books or whatever, and I had a doctor on a couple months ago, and he said, "Where does your radio show reach?" I said, "The world." And he said, "Well, I got a patient." And I said, "Well, yeah." You know, somebody's down in your area and they hear about you and you've got what they want, you're going to get them. So that's
exactly
the way that it works. Yeah, so thank you so much. And listeners, we have been talking with Dr. Jude Kurovin and talking about her new book, Cosmos. And that has been so much fun. And if you have any questions, please do email her. At least go to the website, www.drjudekurovin.com, and the contact information is on the info portion of my radio show too, so you can go and look at that and it'll be in the archives. So there's plenty of ways to get a hold of Dr. Jude. So again, thank you, Dr. Jude. It's been a great pleasure.
It's been a wonderful pleasure for me as well, Dr. Valerie, and thank you to all our listeners, and thank you to you for doing such amazing work.
Oh, thank you. Well, we all do our part, don't we?
we do.
Yeah. Okay, and our show has been brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. And, you know, you're going to hear me getting after you if you haven't tried that yet. You've got to try it, people. It's just an awesome formula, and it's all natural. And you know I'm all about natural and taking care of ourselves to the best of our abilities. So this show has been brought to you by Hydramay Skin Nutrition. And until next week, as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Do 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 do
your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. And awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream.
Se levanta con el sueño en los ojos. El fresco olor de la mañana que aún no nació. Hay una barca en el puerto que le espera. Que como siempre en sus sueños él la besó. Él la saluda desde su ventana. Ella lo entiende como nadie más. Fueron muchas las horas que pasaron juntos. Y muchos los apuros en alta mar. Y cuentan que no saben lo que es el miedo. Dicen que sale, que no importa cómo esté la mar. Juran que goza luchando con la sola. Y que con ella a su lado todo le da igual. Hay quien le espera al caer la tarde. Muchos hay que dudan si volverá. Ya regresaron con sus barcas vacías. Y nadie lo ha visto, está mal a la mar. Y el viento sopla más que de costumbre. Las olas cubren su embarcación. Ya queda poco, se asoma por el puerto. Y lo ven sonriendo junto al timón. Cuentan que no saben lo que es el miedo. Dicen que sale, que no importa cómo esté la mar. Juran que goza luchando con la sola. Y que con ella a su lado todo le da igual. Y cuenta que él no sabe no lo que es el miedo. Y dicen que sale, que no importa cómo esté la mar. Juran que no está luchando con la sola. Que con Emma a su lado todo le da igual. Todo le da igual. Thank you. Valerie.